Ploughing their own decade-long musical furrow are Three Epcano, a group of musicians whose output is dedicated to creating brand new soundtracks for classics of the Silent Age, from the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari via Pandora's Box and Sunrise, to their latest, a new score for Fritz Lang's restored to full-length Metropolis. I went to spend some time with the band at their central Dublin studio, where they had Lang's classic on the projector and a floor carpeted with guitar effects pedals.
The process is fairly straightforward. We begin by engaging with the film and the film alone.
Is that in each other's houses with a DVD and a box of popcorn, or how does engaging work?
Usually something a little stronger than popcorn, but not too strong.
Hi, I'm Cameron Doyle. I play guitar and sometimes Moog.
And a lot of pedals, be honest.
And a lot of pedals, yeah, but not as many as Matt.
I'm Stephen Shannon and I play some old synths, chimes, bass guitar and make lots of noises.
I'm Lioba Petrie and I have my cello here. I have my electric cello. I do a bit of vocals and some chimes occasionally.
And I'm Matthew Nolan, and I play guitar, electric guitar, bass synthesizer, and occasionally omnichord.
And you are in the contest for the most number of pedals at your feet there.
I think I win.
What have you got?
In terms of volume, or what are they? Because I don't know what half of them are. It often begins either with myself or myself and Cameron, I guess, watching the film relentlessly, just to get a real feel for the movie. I think we've always been very careful with any of our projects not to impose ourselves and impose what we do musically on the film itself. Taking our time to get to grips with the film is really important. So we go through a fairly long phase of not thinking musically at all. But what has served us well about that process is that you can't not think musically. So it means that when you move into that formal process of preparing music, it tends to be fairly straightforward because we've already got ideas that are inspired by the film, by scenarios, by characters, by emotions. And that's how we gather ideas, based on emotion, based on atmosphere, oftentimes based on subtext in particular scenes. And that guides us when it comes to actually drafting and workshopping and developing music, which is what we're doing today. We're in the very final phases of refining the score. And that won't finish really until probably the last rehearsal before the show. But we're very close, we think. It's really important that we engage with it critically, and I think that notion, in a kind of an obverse way, resonates with this whole idea of creating a new, different viewing experience. We're taking a film that was watched and experienced in a very specific theatrical context 70, 80, 90 years ago, and we're creating this kind of prism to reinterpret it and re-experience it. And I think that's always going to involve a level of critical engagement. So it's a critical engagement for us as musicians and viewers, because we watch the film in a very similar way to how audiences engage with it, because of the just by virtue of the way we're set up under the screen. And I think that's really important, that we share that audience experience. And I think by virtue of doing that, we're inviting the audience to come into that critical dialogue. Some of the nicest compliments that we've been paid over the years, apart from being told that people forgot we were there, which means we're doing our job pretty well, is people saying that we created a really unique context for them to engage with these films, because they would go off and say, oh, I tried watching Pandora's Box or I tried watching Sunrise and I switched it off after 20 minutes. Because I think that, and I think this notion of critical engagement is interesting, wasn't there. Because I think it's through those, that contemporary mode of expression that, you know, that we've embraced, that we allow for what is actually oftentimes a very emotional experience for audiences. Some of these films are far more sophisticated psychologically and emotionally than a lot of people might give them credit for. I would say with Metropolis, there's probably one musical idea that Cameron is responsible for on the guitar, which to my mind anyway, captures, in a broad sense, captures the atmosphere of the film. There are a couple of little sonic moments that became really important for us to lever off. And I think in the very early days, a couple of those came from what Cameron was doing on guitar.
I actually got a new pedal for my guitars at the time. And so it was just playing around with it. And Metropolis was obviously, straight away, the second I heard the sound, it was like, wow, that's Metropolis, you know, just straight away. And it's very simple. So it's quite loud. Not that loud, though.
So what are we looking at when that's happening? Somebody's being flayed alive, I presume.
It's actually used for the transformation scene where Maria's been, you know, used to turn the robot into her, basically, kind of doppelganger. So, and then it's also used when the city's actually starting to break down and everything's coming apart.
To ask you, did you ever try watching Wizard of Oz with the sound off and a Pink Floyd record on the CD?
Not so far. I've heard of it all right before, you know, but one of these days I must try it.
Because I presume that's what inspired the whole band.
Yeah, you'd have to ask Matthew that.
Threep Cano there, and that screening of Metropolis is at the National Concert Hall in Dublin on Thursday, July 17th, nch.ie for tickets.